First of all, did everyone receive a sheet marked Precious Promises? Anyone need? Well, from the hymn that we have sung, you might surmise what Brother Wilmot's talk will be. We're very happy to have Brother Wilmot with us. He's been here at our home before, but not in a service capacity, and we're happy to have him at this time. The topic of this subject is the precious promises and precious, I can't read my writing, admonitions. Precious promises and precious admonitions. Brother Wilmot.
Thank you, Brother McAllister. It is indeed a privilege to be with you, my spiritual family. This is my second privilege of service in this consecrated room. However, it is my first privilege at a convention here. On the first occasion, it was under different circumstances. We look back and notice recall the Heavenly Father's grace and strength at that first service here in this consecrated room. We bring you Christian loving greeting from your brethren in Fort Worth, and particularly from Ruth. Also, special love to Brother and Sister McAllister from Allison Keymichael. We would like to invite you to come to the annual fall convention. This year it will be October the 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. One of the speakers will be Brother Alan McAllister. I think he perhaps is the only one here who is on the program. So we do hope that many of you will be able to come at that time. Usually we find that it is profitable to surf your minds in the beginning of a service to get you to thinking. So that's why that we like to start by asking some questions. So please be prepared to write down answers for each question. And also, you have the privilege of not only during the short time that we have of filling in this sheet, but really the rest of your life. And as you need more of these, you can make copies and you can fill in many more precious promises than, for the most of these letters than you find room for on this sheet. But to get you to thinking, I'm going to ask three questions. One, name an ancient worthy who lived in two dispensations. Name an ancient worthy who lived in two dispensations. Please write down the answer. Two, name one of the saints who lived in two dispensations. You could name many, but name just one saint who lived in two dispensations. Question number three, where on the chart is our Lord first shown as a divine spirit being? Where on the chart is our Lord first shown as a divine spirit being? I can see the wheel spinning, and that's great. That's what I like. You know, it's important that we think and recall things that we have learned. Now, to answer the first, you could name more than one, but a prominent one that comes to our mind is Noah. Noah lived in two dispensations. He lived in the world that was. He lived in the second world or dispensation. For the second statement or question, a prominent saint who lived in two dispensations would be Pastor Russell. Then for number three, it is plain L, pyramid I, the first time our Lord is shown as a divine spirit being. How many answered number three correctly? Well, we're glad that you recalled that. It would be a little difficult not having the letter on the pyramid there. However, at least you can identify it on plain L and the first pyramid that is shown there on L. Well, with that to get your minds thinking, let's go to our theme text, which is 2 Peter chapter 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. While you're turning to that, let us note that it is rather easy to turn to these promises and admonitions. It is easy to read them. It's another matter, though, to claim them. It takes faith. Faith especially is necessary when the trials and the difficulties of life almost overwhelm us. That is the time that we must claim these and make them our own. As I mentioned, it is a joy to be with so many of my spiritual family here. Our spiritual family is dearer to us than our natural family. We should do everything possible to build one another up in the most holy faith. We should not destroy the faith of any of our brethren, but rather encourage that as each one walks in the narrow way. Now, if you have turned to 2 Peter 1:4, we shall read it. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We note that these promises are given to the us class. The us class refers to those on plane enum, the plane of spirit begettal. These promises do not apply to the world. Some on plane in during the gospel age can find a measure of peace with God by claiming some of these promises. However, they are not for them in the full. They are for those who have made a covenant with God by sacrifice. These promises are for those who have been spirit begotten. We note that it is necessary to claim these, to feed upon them. It is important that we feed upon these promises daily. Hourly. We must eat the natural food daily in order to live. It is much more important that we feed upon the exceeding great and precious promises daily if we are to live as new creatures. We are only now begotten of the Spirit on plane M. Actually, to pinpoint us on the chart, we're represented by topless pyramid S, which actually extends over to here at this particular time. These are spirit-begotten ones separated from Babylon during this harvest time. With that theme text then before us, let us note the sheet that was passed out to you. It's necessary that you write very small. I would like to encourage you right up at the top under A to write the scripture which we will give. Then underneath the scripture in that same rectangular space, write a word or words which will enable you to remember that promise. You may have different ways of remembering a scripture. You may wish to start with the first letter. However, in some cases, it will be easier to get some key point out of the scripture in order for you to remember it. We will not have time to fill out all of this chart this afternoon. We leave that for you to do during your personal studies, during your class studies, at any time that you have in reading these scriptures. You find one that's very precious, write it down, fill it in, and then you can recall it on various occasions. It has been a blessing to us in our class at home to note how the brethren are quickly responding to some of these answers, how that they will think ahead what promise starts with each letter of the alphabet. By the way, I have not found any for X. However, we can find one with a play on words, even though it doesn't start the sentence. And the play on words would be our theme text, 2 Peter 1:4, exceeding great and precious promises. So maybe you can remember it that way for X. If you find one with X, let me know. In some cases, we find just an admonition. In other cases, we find a scripture which starts with a particular letter of the alphabet. As I mentioned, though, it's a lifetime work. You may run across some that you didn't even know existed. So as you do so, jot them down so you won't forget. There are many, as you can see, that I have filled out for A and even on the back. And we're not going to cover all of these with A, because if we did that, we'd probably get just a few letters. But we're going to single out one that we think is a blessing to us. It's a wonderful promise. It's Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Perhaps for your key words, you might put all things. If you put just the word and, that may enable you to remember it. However, you will find a lot of promises beginning with and. So perhaps you will want to put under Romans 8:28, all things. All things work together for those who love God. Is that what it says? Well, just partly. All things work together for those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. I have heard some of our nominal church friends quote a portion of this scripture. They quote only the part that says, all things work together for good to those who love God. There they stop. All things are not working together for good unless one is spirit begotten. Those who are the called according to His purpose. We must keep that in mind as we claim this promise. Then we come to the next letter of the alphabet. Now this is one that has so many. Two weeks ago at Denver, we used this. We're going to use some different ones from what we used at Denver in addition to some of the same ones. And partly we're doing this because we have some dear brethren here from Denver who were there just 2 weeks ago. Then we used one from Matthew, the 5th chapter. There you have many from chapter 5, verses 3 through 11. However, we're going to use another one this time from B. Turn with me to Revelation, the 3rd chapter. Verse 20. While you're turning to that, let us note that this began to be applicable here at number 7 on the chart, which is the beginning of the Messianic or Millennial Age. Number 7 is the beginning of our Lord's second presence for 1,000 years. This is a precious promise. Behold. Perhaps that may be a key word for you to remember this. Or you may wish to write, I stand at the door and knock. Whatever you want to write in under the scripture to enable you to remember it, do so. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. When someone is at the door knocking, he is present. Now here is the promise. If any man, well there is the admonition, the condition, if any man hear my voice and open the door, now the promise, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. We must claim this promise. However, as we said, there are conditions. We must open our hearts to accept this evening meal. We are in the evening of what age? The gospel age. It is supper time. Our Lord is serving us supper. As Brother Norby used to express it, our Lord enjoys this truth too. And we believe that's the case. Why do we come together time after time to listen to the same things? Why do we meet every Sunday to discuss the same truths? It's because we love the truth. We want to learn all we can about the truth. So the promise is that if we will open our hearts through full consecration, our Lord will come in and sup with us, and we can sup with Him. Now let's go to letter C. I'm going to use a different one there than I used at Denver also. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away. Perhaps that will be a key word for you, cast. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Now let's go to letter D. James 4:8. Remember, friends, these are exceeding great and precious promises. Remember, it is necessary to claim them. Draw nigh unto God. Here's the admonition. And He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now the part that we want to particularly consider is the first part. If we draw nigh to the Heavenly Father, He will draw nigh to us. Where on the chart do we find ourselves the closest to the Heavenly Father? Remember, the admonition is to draw nigh to Him. We find it here in the Holy of the Tabernacle. When we are praying to our Heavenly Father, we're as close to heaven as we can get on this side of the veil. This is a wonderful arrangement that we have of drawing nigh to Him through prayer, and thus we have His presence with us. He blesses us with an understanding of His truth. Why is it that we can understand the truth while others who are not consecrated cannot understand it? It is because He has given us His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. All Scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable. It's because then that we have the Holy Spirit through full consecration that we're enabled to understand these exceeding great and precious promises, and all of the other features of God's plan. Letter E. Some letters are a little more difficult than others. However, this is a beautiful one. This is in James, the first chapter, verses 17 and 18 that we'll use. 17 starts with E. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Of the Father's will, He begat us with the word of truth. There are two classes of spirit-begotten ones. All through the age, they were growing together, the little flock and the great company. In the harvest is the time of separation. Here we see the little flock separated from the rest of the nominal church shown here down through the gospel age. Here we see topless pyramid T representing the great company. However, this class has not yet been made manifest as a class. That will be after the church is complete. Then we have this scripture which shows that the Heavenly Father of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. The promise is that if we are faithful, we will be a part of His first fruits, a part of His family, His divine family. As I mentioned in opening, it's such a pleasure to be with my spiritual family. Some of our brethren are closer to us than others of our brethren. Is there anything wrong with that? Is that partiality? Of course not. Wasn't our Lord closer to some of His brethren? Certainly He was. Why are we closer to some of our brethren than others? It's because that they have that same love, that full consecration, that full desire to do the Heavenly Father's will. It's because we enjoy talking on these spiritual things. Last evening, we had the privilege of fellowship here in this room. And we had much precious fellowship at the Denver Convention. The reason why one can have a lot of special spiritual fellowship is that it's necessary to keep our conversation on the Scriptures. There's very little fellowship when you're asking, well, how are you physically, and what about the weather, and all the other things like that. So often when we come together, those are the things we talk about. The greatest amount of fellowship is when we're talking about God's plan. Now, getting back to this thought about loving the brethren, we love all the brethren. That's why that we're laying down our lives for all of the brethren. That's why that we want to reach all of our brethren as we have opportunity. There are some cases that we don't have opportunity to reach some. But our desire should be to encourage all to walk as closely as possible in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior. If we do that, then we'll be blessed indeed. Let's go to letter F. Psalm 91:11. Psalm 91:11 is another one of those precious promises. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Here there are no conditions attached to those who are of the us class. One must be of the us class, as we've seen, of course. But to those who are of the us class, we have this promise that angels are keeping us as new creatures. Isn't that a precious promise? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those who shall be heirs of salvation. I like to think in this time in which we're living, so close to the end of the gospel age harvest, that there are many angels watching out for each one of us. After all, these angels are available now. There was a time when there were many more of the little flock on this side of the veil. Now we're so few in number. So I like to think that these angels who were assigned to others in the past are now available for us. We actually need this divine power. Old one would be sufficient. But we have the powers of evil opposing us to such an extent today that here it would seem that we have this extra provision of extra guardian angels. regardless of whether that's the thought or not, we may be assured that we have divine power operating on our behalf as new creatures. Remember our first promise that was cited. All things are working together for our highest welfare as new creatures. In connection with these unseen spirit beings working on our behalf, there are also visible messengers or angels working on our behalf. The chosen elders have a responsibility of looking after the interests of the Lord's sheep. Each member of the household of faith also has a responsibility of watching for the spiritual welfare of his brethren. The promise again, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in just some of your ways." No, it says all of thy ways. I don't know what your key word was, but what key word did you put down, Brother Duane, for Psalm 91:11?
Charge over us.
Okay, what did you put down, Brother Ray?
Give charge.
Give charge? Who put a different answer?
Charge over thee.
Charge over thee? Brother David?
I was under the impression it was supposed to be the first letter as a mnemonic device, so I put four.
Well, you could do it that way. You could put the first letter, and that enables some to remember. Some you can and remember easier, and others you might want something else a little different. I put down angels. So it's interesting how our minds work. That's why we're leaving it up to you as to what to put down. What we're trying to do is just to encourage you to remember these promises. Reason for this lesson is, as some of you may have heard me mention, there are times when in the middle of the night I can't sleep, so I go over some of the precious promises. So it led to this lesson, which has no end to it, really, as we've seen. This is a beautiful promise that we're going to call attention to, and this is Psalm 119. 165. Psalm 119, 165. How many of you can quote that from memory? Psalm 119, 165. It starts out with great peace. Very good. Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall... The King James says offend, but the thought is stumble them. That is the correct thought. Nothing shall stumble them. Who has this great peace? Only those who are on plane M have this peace of God which passeth all human understanding. It passes all human understanding because these have given up all human hopes, aims, and ambitions. These are no longer naturally minded, but spirit-begotten new creatures on plane M. There's another promise which we will not consider just in that particular letter because we've already considered F, but in connection with this peace with God, may we refresh our memory with Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We find that this scripture is not always understood. Now we can see why that this is the case. Our pastor's writings show his growth and development in connection with this scripture. As you read some of his earlier writings, you might apply that Romans 5:1 to those who are tentatively justified. However, as you come to the near the end of his ministry, he gives us the icing on the cake, as it were. And there he shows that it's only those who have made this full and reserved consecration and who have been spirit begotten who are at peace with the Heavenly Father. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. As one is walking on plain in with a measure of faith, he has a measure of peace with God. This peace increases as his faith increases. This one on plain in has a measure of the privilege of prayer. This increases as he continues to grow in grace. However, it's only when one ties himself up there at the first veil, that is, obligates himself by consecration vows, that he is then at peace with the Heavenly Father. Well, for the key words, I put great peace there. You may put whatever you wish. Let's go to H. Again, we're in Psalm 91. In fact, you have three verses there that you could choose from. Psalm 91, verse 1, verse 4, and verse 15. I think we shall consider all of them because they're all very precious. They are exceeding great and precious promises. He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. These are the ones dwelling in the holy of the tabernacle. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Verse 15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. You know, as we read these promises, it's hard to decide which is the most precious. Isn't this especially a precious one? The Heavenly Father will be with us in our troubles, in our trials, in our difficulties. He will deliver us. Remember, nothing can happen to us as new creatures by chance. We have seen that all things are working together for our highest spiritual welfare. And John 8:36. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. It is certainly a privilege to be a bondservant of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we're free from error, from the traditions of men, from the bondage of men. Now let's move on to J. Now this is another one that is difficult to find something starting with J. In some cases, they may be just statements or admonitions, but we would like to refer you to Psalm 89:14. It is a promise for us to claim that justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. We appreciate the fact that justice and judgment are the habitation of God's throne. It's because of this that we can depend upon the Heavenly Father. If God were not a God of justice, we couldn't depend upon him. Just recently, I heard on the news and read in the newspaper concerning this planet that they think they have found. You know, I don't know how many planets there are out there in this vast universe. However, I think that man is being permitted to discover a few of these secrets of the universe at the present time. You know why I think this? I think that when the little church, the little flock, the church, the Christ, finished the work here at the end of the mediatorial reign of Christ, and then after the final little season, that they will be apportioned to this different parts of this vast universe. Perhaps one or two or more will go to a certain portion of the universe, and they will accomplish God's plan for that particular part of the universe, whatever that might be. Then I can think that ever so often, these will all come back together in a general assembly. Well, maybe that's not the way it will be. However, can you imagine the saints for all eternity doing nothing? I can visualize that there's a lot for them to do. Now, we must keep in mind there's a difference between thinking what something might be and what it actually will be. But I think there's nothing wrong for us to think along some of these lines. Let's go on to K. Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Isn't that marvelous that the Heavenly Father knew the end of his plan as it relates to man from before the foundation of the world? We can claim this assurance then that the Heavenly Father is all wise as well as all powerful as well as just and loving. Now let's go to L. Here again we have so many with L. I'm going to choose Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have the admonition then to come confidently to the throne of heavenly grace. How much time do you spend in prayer each day? How much time do you spend on your knees? Some of us perhaps don't spend as much time on our knees as do others. However, I am constantly throughout the day praying. We don't have to close our eyes in order to pray, especially when we're driving. It might be a little dangerous if we try to close our eyes and pray while we're driving, but we certainly can have access to the Heavenly Father. Now, of course, when we're engaged in the work activities of the day, we can't always be praying then. However, there are times that we do have some leisure moments that we can come boldly and there obtain the mercy and find this grace that's promised to us. This, brethren, is a wonderful promise. Here we're going to receive this grace which will be of assistance to us in every time of need. Now let's go to M. This is along the same line, that train of thought that we were just considering. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation or satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. As we were mentioning in the earlier promise, we can come confidently to the throne of grace. We come through our advocate, Christ Jesus. The Apostle John is reminding us that we have this privilege. He is encouraging us when we do sin to ask forgiveness. However, he reminds us also that we must do the best we can not to sin. No one can do perfectly, though, in thought, word, or deed. Doing the very best we can, we constantly slip and come short. Therefore, we need an advocate with the Father. And so here we have this promise that our Lord will advocate our cause. We have the assurance, too, that He is the satisfaction not only for the sins of the church, but also for the whole world. Our Lord gave Himself a ransom for Adam, a corresponding price to be testified in due time. Let's move on to N. Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto those who are exercised thereby. The chastening experiences are necessary then to keep us in the narrow way. If we find ourselves attached too closely to the things of this earth, we must have experiences to cut away those ties, those affections. It's for our benefit as new creatures. We have given up our hope of living here upon the earth. We've given up all of our restitution rights. Why did we do this? Because we were invited to do so. We accepted the invitation. There's no turning back now. Perhaps one of the greatest dangers for the new creature is love for the natural family. This doesn't mean you don't love your family, your natural family. However, you can't expect to live in heaven and here on earth at the same time. Once you've given up this hope of leaving the earth, there's no turning back, as we've already noted. Now, if we find ourselves in the spiritual phase of the kingdom, we will have the privilege of blessing not only our natural family, but all the families of the earth. So really, in the long run, you love your natural family more by giving up your human hopes, aims, and ambitions. All right. Let's go on to O. Let's take Psalm 66, 8 and 9. Psalm 66, 8 and 9. O bless our God, ye people, and make His voice, and make the voice of His praise to be heard. We have the privilege during the next 2 days to bless our Heavenly Father. We are His people. May we continue to show forth His praises after we leave the convention too. It's our privilege to tell the groaning creation these blessed tidings. It is our privilege to tell them of the time of rest that nears. Now, for our closing a promise, I knew that we wouldn't have time for all of these. That's why I said that it's a lifetime work. We're going to close with John 14, 27. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What a wonderful heritage is ours to have this peace of Christ, this peace of God, this peace of God which passeth all human understanding. As a final word of admonition, we encourage you to continue to fill out this chart. Make new charts if you need more room. Then in the special moments of need, refer back to them, claim them, think upon them. Try to do so from memory, if possible. Try to memorize as many scriptures as possible. Thus, by so doing, by feeding upon these, we shall eventually become partakers of the divine nature, first here, then there, and finally shown here. May our Heavenly Father overrule anything which was done or said amiss.
Thank you, Brother Wilmot. We have some homework to do. We have many, many precious promises, and how well it is to review all of these. Now, may we close then with the use of hymn number 37. 37, Boundless Grace.
Father, we pray for a larger measure of faith. We pray for more of your Holy Spirit. We pray that we might earnestly claim these exceeding great and precious promises and thus eventually become partakers of thine own divine nature. We pray that through the trials and difficulties of life, these promises might be very real to us, and that we might continue to claim them and thus eventually be more than an overcomer. We thank thee for this season of fellowship with our dear spiritual family gathered here at this time. We ask thy blessing upon each one individually according to your will, and bless us collectively. We also remember the general interest of the harvest work, and particularly the share which each one of us has in that work, and the dear co-laborers in every place. We long for the time when the earthly phase of thy kingdom will be established in this earth. To this end, we do continue to pray for this incoming kingdom. Bless our fellowship now together, we pray in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
We will have a half hour of fellowship and reconvene at 3 o'clock for Brother John Bazilius. Following his Brother Bazilius' discourse, we're going to have a convention picture taken, and that'll be out in our front yard, so we'll ask you to move upstairs and out into the front yard and back down. We have a half an hour to do this. Brother Brian Cutcher is going to take the picture. I guess it's an ambitious program to do it in a half an hour. But we think we can. So enjoy your fellowship. Thank you.